Good evening, everybody. It might be the morning for you. I don't care. Officially, as I'm talking, it's 11:59:53 my time. So what I said on accident still counts. So take that. It's the Bart Winkler Show, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Carlos Ortiz alongside. This means April Fool's is basically over. You may be experiencing it on the West Coast. Don't you feel like April Fool's? I feel like, and I talked about this because there's still people that do it. Carlos actually tried to get me on something today.
Sure did.
Which you had like the cadence of like a, hey, hate to say it, but like you did the same cadence as Tiger Woods did today. Did you see Tiger?
I did not. Again, you know my feeling on golf. They could play the Masters in my backyard, and I would call the authorities for trespassing.
Okay, well, Tiger online today said, I can't believe I'm saying this, but a few weeks after rupturing my left Achilles, the sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber plus the explosive lifts, my doctors and trainers have me ready to play the Masters next week. Can't wait. See you all on the course. So that went out at 7:43 this morning. And he let that simmer for 6 minutes before he quoted it and said at 7:49, P.S. April Fool's, my Achilles is a mess. This is lame, right? It's like, is it funny? It's lame. April Fool's is lame. I think it's passed us by. It's lame. Now, my kid did get me today. He said, hey, Daddy, there's a monkey on your head, April Fool's Day. So he didn't even let it simmer. He didn't even wait the 6 minutes. But Tiger Woods, earlier today, he sent out a tweet and then giggled for 6 minutes while refreshing his Twitter to see what people were saying, and then couldn't resist and told the world he was joking 6 minutes later. Now, I got tripped up by something that the Milwaukee Bucks posted today because the Bucks played the Suns in Milwaukee. And Mike Budenholzer, who is the coach of the Suns, previously coached the Bucks. And he coached the Bucks to an NBA championship victory. And to do that, they beat the Suns. So the Bucks put out this graphic on all their social media that said, welcome back, Coach Bud, with pictures of Bud as a Bucks coach holding the trophy, Mike Budenholzer. And my first initial thought was, this is an April Fool's joke. And my second initial thought was, oh my God, they actually fired Doc Rivers and somehow got Bud. And then my third thought was, oh yeah, Bud and the Suns are in town. But I thought it was more believable that it was an April Fool's joke, or that Bud actually, I thought the Bud replacing Doc was actually believable. Now, my big thing about April Fool's is, why do you do it? Is April Fool's not just a way to test the loyalty of the people that trust you? I think it's a shame. So I'm glad it's over. I do dread it every year. I feel like I got away with a bunch of stuff this year. I didn't really get duped on anything. Tiger had me going crazy for 6 minutes. I was like, whoa, Tiger. Oh my God, he's back. I text everyone I know. 888-710-4ISN. Let's get to Jim. He's in Cleveland. You want to talk some baseball quick, Jim? What's up?
Yeah, hey, Bart. But I played an April Fool's joke on one of our managers. I texted him and I said, I quit. And then I said, April Fool's. So I don't think he fell for it.
But did you give a buffer? Or did you do it right away? And how do you know that that would work? Wouldn't he be like, oh, thank God, now I don't have to fire you? That's a risk. Jim, that's a risk.
I just said I quit on the text message that said April Fools.
All right.
But did you hear about Nolan Jones getting traded back to the Guardians from Colorado?
Yes, but why don't you enlighten everybody?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. He used to play for the Guardians, and then we traded him to the Rockies. He had a really good year 2 years ago, and I guess he was hurt last year. But he was texting Tyler Freeman with a Guardian who played for the Guardians, and he said, something's weird here. They're holding me out of the spring training lineup. And then Tyler said, hey, they're doing the same thing to me. and they got traded for each other.
That happened, what, a week ago in spring training, you said?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago, I think. But the
tough
Guardians
loss tonight
really
for the Guardians. They got waxed, huh? 7-0?
Oh, it was terrible. You know, I know they say trading Jimenez was a financial move, but you know, Arias made two blunders at second, and then even Jose Ramirez made an error. The infield was terrible, and we were just totally dominated by the San Diego Padres.
Well, you know what they say, Jim, and thanks for the call. There's always tomorrow. Quick wash with that one in baseball. Quick wash. Padres undefeated, Dodgers undefeated here at this point in the season. We've got some caller fold coming up tonight. Excited to go through a few topics baseball related. One basketball thing that I wanted to bring up was this issue of tanking. And really, it's a larger thing that I've noticed with the NBA and with Adam Silver specifically, which I kind of give him credit for, but I think at some point he's got to realize he just doesn't have the tools to assemble the furniture that he's trying to make. Or he can't manufacture the product with the materials he's working with. So one of the things that gets talked about every year this time is tanking. Because there's a lot of teams in the league, in the NBA, that have more incentive to lose than they do to win. The whole draft setup, by the way, I still find weird. I cautiously broach the topic because I feel like what I've been told, in a capitalistic society, is you got to pick yourself up. You got to go earn it. Once you earn it, you make more. And if you like need help, you know, you can get a little help here or there, but it doesn't seem like the system is allowing you to be in a position where you need help and then all of a sudden you're at the top. Okay? I don't think there's anything out of pocket there. But in sports, that is what we do. Oh, you were the worst team. You are having the worst time. You're in the worst position. Here's the best asset. It's just different. It's more of a socialistic viewpoint of how things are done. I just always find that interesting. I don't have any further commentary, just something for you to think about while you're trying to fall asleep. But then when you reward these teams with something so valuable, the number one pick, whether it becomes a player or a trade asset, you're encouraging teams to lose, which makes your product worse. It not only makes your product worse when these two bad teams are playing each other, but then when good teams are trying to jockey for playoff positions, they're kind of getting these free wins over these bad teams. And right now in the NBA, there's, again, a handful of teams that have good incentive to lose. There's five teams in the East that have already been eliminated. So we know who the 10 are going to be at least. Raptors, Nets, Sixers, Hornets, Wizards, they're all out. The Pelicans are out. The Jazz are out. The Spurs are going to be out soon. The Blazers will be out soon. And then the Suns are a game and a half back of the Sacramento Kings for the 10 spot. After losing four in a row, after playing this road trip without Kevin Durant. So tanking is, it's a problem. Tanking is a problem. And then you have weirder stuff like the Sixers need to keep losing because they get to keep their pick if it's top six. Otherwise, it goes to the Thunder. So there's that wrinkle of it, too. And one suggestion that I saw was get rid of the weighted system. If you make the lottery, you have equal chance at the number one pick. Now, the NBA should like that because, well, then they can rig it easier, right? We always think these drafts were frozen envelope or whatever. So that could add, maybe, but that adds to the conspiracy. But tanking is a problem, and it's not just a problem in the NBA. It's a problem in all these other sports. But how do you get rid of it? In America, in North American leagues, you don't. Unless you de-centivize the pick. But then you're not going to be like, oh, hey, Eagles, good job. You have as equal chance at the number one pick in the draft as everybody else. I don't know that you can do that either. Maybe you can. That would totally disincentivize tanking. If you had totally, I mean, we're not talking about make the lottery, the 13 teams have the same amount. No, we're talking about totally up for grabs random. That would be wild. We talked about teams moving before, and a caller had brought up the English Premier League. And I think what's interesting is Adam Silver is trying to adopt things from the English Premier League soccer, but he doesn't have the resources to do it because that's not how American sports are built. And there are a lot of advantages and I think things that are better about the soccer model. And I use the English Premier League. It might be the most recognizable, but soccer leagues all throughout Europe have the same kind of structure where there's a league at the top and then there's the next league and then there's a league below and then below. There's like five or six leagues. Jump around different countries on the continent. There's three leagues, there's four leagues, there's five leagues. You may have heard of Wrexham. Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds on that team. They're rising up the ranks because they continue to be promoted. Because there's a system called promotion and relegation. We can't do that here because there's nowhere to relegate them to. You have 30 teams in the NBA. You have 20 teams that play in the English Premier League every year. So there's 20 teams that play in the English Premier League every year. The three at the bottom get relegated. They get dismissed. They get sent to the second division. And then teams from the second division, the top three teams, get to go up. So you're not always assured that you're going to be in the top level. I mean, if you weren't always assured you were going to be in the NFL next year, Ipswich Town, Leicester City, who won it a few years ago, and Southampton are all currently in what they call the relegation zone. They've got incentive to try to keep winning. Otherwise, they're out. What's also different about the English Premier League is it's just the regular season. And then that's it in terms of who wins it. So Liverpool right now is 70 points. Arsenal has 61 points. Nottingham Forest has 57 and Chelsea has 49. Those are the top four. Okay. But whoever wins the regular season after 38 games wins the league. There's no Super Bowl. There's no playoffs. You just win the league. But what's this playoff type thing I do see? Well, that's the Champions League. The top four in England advance to the Champions League, And this is a collection of all of the soccer leagues in Europe that then play. So you got Bayern Munich from Germany and Real Madrid out of Spain, clubs from Italy, clubs from Poland, clubs from, you know, France, PSG, clubs from England. They're playing in a tournament, and that essentially becomes the playoffs. Or it's a Champions League. So you win your league, the English Premier League, kind of acts as a conference. Think collegiately, maybe. And then you got the playoffs. So I bring all this up because Adam Silver, I think, is a very flawed commissioner. I do appreciate his looking across the pond and trying to implement things that are done overseas. One of the other things that they have in these soccer leagues is, you know, I just said there's 5, 6, 7 levels of English soccer. They actually all play in a big tournament together during the season. So during the season, they have a separate competition that doesn't count towards the regular season. Does that sound like something Adam Silver might want to do? Well, he's done that. It's the NBA Cup. The problem with the NBA Cup is it's just the NBA. Now, you could do it with the G League, I guess, but that would be stupid because the G League funnels guys through. They use these leagues. Major League Baseball might be one where you could, like, just say, okay, we got the Major League, and then we got AAA and AA and Single A. You could promote and relegate teams. You're bad? Okay, Pirates, you're in AAA now. And then these smaller clubs with these smaller ballparks would build up, and that's what happens a lot is these clubs get to the higher level and then they put more money and investment and then they got bigger stadiums and it just, you know, helps the whole ecosystem over there. But we can't do that here because that's not how it was set up. So Adam Silver's trying to adapt different things. He has specifically said relegation is something that keeps you from wanting to lose, but we don't have an outlet for that. We made this NBA Cup, which a lot of you think is dumb, because it is confusing, because it's an in-season tournament. They're playing. The games count for the regular season. That's not how it works in England. In England, you've got first-level teams going down to play third-level teams in the third-level stadium, and wow, this is so cool. Can't believe Manchester United's in our little town in this little stadium with 4,000 people, with this diehard fan base that has dreams of one day becoming a Premier League team. But that specifically, that's tank proof because there is no draft. And it's not perfect because, you know, there's no salary cap and there's big money and it's hard for teams to get up into that level. Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, you know, it's kind of the same teams at the top. Chelsea, same teams at the top a lot. Not always, but a lot. So we would be sacrificing what we have for, like, you know, it'd be baseball-like. It'd be baseball-like where it's always the Dodgers, it's always the Yankees. But then if you were bad enough, you get sent down. You wouldn't be able to use those teams as development. I think that it would be so fun. I think that it would be so fun if we did have some sort of system like that. But we're so far from having that be a reality. But it's fascinating to watch Adam Silver try to at least look there to make things better here. And I don't know what they do about tanking because the draft's not going away anytime soon. The NBA Cup is, it's a valiant effort, but it will never reach what he's trying to do. And there's no such Champions League that they can have. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to win the NBA Finals and take on FC Barcelona and beat the hell out of them? There's nobody on the NBA's level. Like you got pretty well distributed over in Europe regarding soccer. There's nothing there. So I do appreciate what Adam Silver's trying to do and what he's trying to draw from. It's just, I'm telling him it's not going to work. So good effort, A for effort, but it's not going to work. So tanking lives on, I guess. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Caller Fold coming up. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
We love big money on the Bart Winkler Show.
You know why, mister? Because
You drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW.
The cards are on the table. Bring in the high rollers.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
It's time to put up or shut up with Cole or Fold.
Like I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something.
Here's Big Bucks Bart Winkler and Cold Cash Carlos Ortiz.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah!
Call or Fold every Tuesday for now until this fall, where it will move to a new home on Thursdays here on the Bart Winkler Show. Same time slot, same segment, except for today because we push everything around to, you know what? Nothing's sacred. We tell you when stuff is going to happen, and you're going to sit down and listen, damn it. And Bart, Jeez. Let's start off caller fold here. Yes, I'm on vacation mode already. All right, this is my Friday. I can say whatever I want, pending FCC regulations.
Yeah, I'm meeting Carlos in Chicago on Friday, but Carlos is going to Chicago tomorrow.
I am indeed. Might go see my grandma, maybe a couple of friends. Basically, I have Thursday to do whatever I want. But I told Bart what my travel plans are tomorrow. Tomorrow's literally just travel day because I don't leave until the afternoon. I'm ordering a deep dish. I'm checking in the hotel. I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to sleep for 13 hours.
God.
If that's, nothing else,
that's
sleep is vacation. That's right. But I can't sleep on this segment. I actually have a job to do. So let's start here, Bart. No. Torpedo bats are all the rage. All the cool kids are doing it. You should too. Ellie De La Cruz went 4-for-5 with 2 home runs, a double, and 7 RBIs, using one for the very first time. He literally picked it up in practice. He's like, all right, I'll swing it. I think he's going to keep using that bat. Jazz Chisholm, Anthony Volpe for the Yankees each have 3 home runs. It seems like more than half the Yankees lineup uses the torpedo bat. Nico Hoerner, Dansby Swanson of the Cubs use the bats. They destroy the A's, scoring 18 runs on Monday. Basically, offense is pretty much up, I want to say, everywhere on the young season. And the torpedo bat is all everyone is talking about, whether it positively or negatively. So, Bart, call or fold, Major League Baseball will look to ban torpedo bats after this season.
I will fold that. I think the rule opens itself up to interpretation. The rule eventually or essentially allows this to happen because it doesn't say where the weight needs to be. And it does look different because, I mean, it is different. They designed it. They made it look different. Do you have that guy? You have that guy talking about it, Aaron Leanhart?
I do.
Yeah, he talks about the last few days about all of a sudden, like, Everybody's talking about him, how surreal it is.
And here he is now.
Definitely been surreal for the last, couple days. At the end of the day, you know, it's about the batter, not the bats. It's about the hitters and their hitting coaches, not their hitting implements. So I'm happy to always help those guys get a little bit better, but ultimately it's up to them to put good swings on good pitches and grind it out every day. So credit to those guys.
Another one from him. He asked why it took so long for this bat to be invented.
All I can say is I was one of those smart guys for so long that grew up swinging those old, weird-looking bats as well, right? And it's not until now that maybe, you know, anyone really thought about this, myself included. So you show up every day, you put the glove on you're given, you swing the bat that you're given, you put the spikes on you're given, and you go about your day as best you can. And every now and then it takes a little bit of time to question what you're doing. And so a couple years ago, some of the hitters started questioning what they were doing, and I just kind of responded to their questions.
Again, that's the guy. He was in the Yankees front office. He's now with Miami, I believe. Aaron Leanhart is the name. Look, where he says it's the bat or not the bat, somebody I've advocated for a long time is Barry Bonds. And while he did, we think, right? Do we think or do we know? What's our status?
Yeah, we know.
He was in Biogenesis before.
Yeah, he was in the Balco report. We know. And frankly, I don't care.
No, I don't either. But I've always said, like, his hand-eye and his eye speed and that coordination. I mean, he had a Hall of Fame career before he started.
Yeah, he had two of them.
So it wasn't just the steroids. It was, I mean, it was Barry Bonds. So under that logic, I also think that baseball doesn't see this as a problem. Nor do I think they should, pitching has evolved and developed so much. I mean, where guys are, you know, what are we talking about with pitchers? They're resting more. They're not going 100. They're purposely giving themselves Tommy John surgery in high school so that they can throw harder. They're inventing new pitches. At some point, you got to let the batters play. Otherwise, we're going to get to a sport where everybody's hitting a buck 97. And then that's considered good. So I don't mind it. I don't think everybody's going to use it either. You know, if Giancarlo Stanton's talking about, or there's question as if to it helped his or hurt his tennis elbow or whatever, there could be some long-term effects. We don't know. They're holding the bat different. It's weighted different. I think it's different. It's interesting. But to me, the change that we're going to see, like the comparison we're going to have, isn't so much, oh, baseball player now using steroids. It's going to be like wide receiver not using bare hands anymore. Now he's using gloves. And so you just adapt with it. And I think it's fine. This feels like something that I feel like I want to hate it, but I don't. So, Fold, I don't think Major League Baseball will either.
Yeah, this is just a market overcorrection. Remember the slogan a couple of years ago, chicks dig the long ball? Well, the long ball's back in style, baby. Nothing ever goes out. That being said, Aaron Judge is not using the bat. I find that strange. I mean, he doesn't need any help, but he's like...
Yeah, he had three home runs the other day using a regular old broomstick. Yeah, it's fine.
You figured, well, the best hitter in the world would use it. No, not him. Everybody else on his team is, though. That being said, one Yankee who jumped on the torpedo bats early was Giancarlo Stanton. You mentioned him just now. He's currently on the IL, and honestly, I have no idea if he's going to play soon because he has tendon ailments in both of his elbows, and that's what forced him to begin the season on the injured list. He was asked if the bat could be the issue, and he basically said, no, it's a non-issue, and he'll continue to use them when he gets back into the swing of things. That was not a pun, that was intended. That being said, Bart, they say there's no such thing as a stupid question, but call or fold, the reporter asked a stupid question.
No, I gotta fold that. Fold. I'll always stick up for reporters.
Hack.
No, I'll always stick up for reporters. Sometimes reporters ask bad questions. Sometimes they don't have all the information. But if the torpedo bat is all the rage, and there's a guy who's experimented with it and then he's hurt, I think it's a very fine question. Now, I am not going to Twitter doctor what I think is happening here. I can't be Dr. Jesse Morsing this thing. I use him specifically because he is somebody that I've fired off tweets against before. I also don't like him because he looks like he could be like a variant of me where it's like, you know, red beard and thinning hair. And
so the Bart Winkler Part 2 movie and Into the Multiverse, it's him playing you?
Yeah. So there was a guy that got hurt. I think it was in a college basketball game. No, it might have been Juju Watkins. He got hurt and he diagnosed the injury. No, you know who it was? It was, I don't know. It was in the men's tournament, though. But he diagnosed an injury. The guy ended up playing again the next game. And then his next tweet was him in vacation in, like, Italy. So not only is he trying to Twitter diagnose through a video screen, he's doing it while on vacation.
What the hell did you just say to me?
There are a lot of people... There's a lot of people that I hate. And it's not specific people, it's type of people.
I'm offended.
You shouldn't be. But it's type of people. And Twitter doctors that try to diagnose through video with their Dr. Nick diplomas on the wall.
Whoa.
Simpsons. They're like at the top of my list. Anyway, it was a fine question.
Well, hi, everybody. Here's number three. 162-0 is still on the table as the Dodgers are 7-0. They're going to get it. They beat the Braves, who are still winless, but in LA's case, this is their third straight series after taking the Tokyo series versus my Cubs. They swept the Detroit Tigers, and they're already taking this one versus Atlanta. Call or fold, the Dodgers will not lose a single series before Memorial Day.
You know what I'm going to do here? Is I am going to call that.
Cole.
About time.
Now, I may be wrong. And you, it's probably a lot. Like, this is a very easy one to say. No, no, no. It can't happen. But what I'm doing with the Dodgers, I have no reason to change. What I'm doing with the Dodgers is taking the most wild, impossible record and riding it until they show otherwise. Will they go 162-0? No, 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 no.
You don't know that.
No. Yeah, but they're 7-0. They played Chicago. They've played Detroit. They've played Atlanta. They have not lost yet. They're 7-0. I don't think they're going to lose that much. I don't think they're going to have a losing streak of more than two games all season. How about that? I think they're going to beat the 116 wins that the Mariners had. How about that? I think they might win around 125 games. They might win three out of every four games. So anything Dodgers, I'm calling. They're that good, and so far, they're showing how good they are. So I'm all in on the Dodgers winning like an absurd amount of games and a number that's never touched again, except by maybe the 2026 Dodgers.
Yeah, that's when the bills will start coming through. And, you know, right now the Dodgers are, you know, on afterpay. They'll pay for this in 2 years. All right. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said the idea of NFL players competing in flag football in the 28 Los Angeles Olympic Games has been a popular topic and suggested it's likely to happen. Flag football is important for the NFL because it's basically the only way that they can grow American football short of doing a European division. But here domestically, I'm sure there are zero owners, general managers, or any coaches that want participation from their players. So I ask you, Packer owner, call or fold, you want Packers players to play in the Olympics?
I'm going to fold.
Fold.
But not for the reason of I don't want my guys to get hurt. I'm going to fold for a bigger reason. I don't like flag football as an Olympic sport. I don't think flag football should be played at any level higher than eighth grade. I don't like it. I had a bad experience while playing it where I thought I had a touchdown, but the guy ripped my flag off at the line of scrimmage, and for some reason I was called, the play was dead, even though I had scored. Also, I don't like the NFL's embrace towards it. I feel like the more they embrace it, the more they will slowly turn into it. I just don't like flag football. Now, if it gives more people the opportunity to play football without injury, that's fine. And I know there's some high school programs, like, I think boys and girls sprouting up. And so I'd be evil to like hate that. But flag football is an Olympic sport. This must be how people felt when like snowboarding and all these X Games sports came over. I don't like it. I don't like flag football as an Olympic sport. I feel like that's a cop-out because you want football, but with the time of rest and no other countries knowing how to play it, they're going to go with this. I'm not pro. I'm not team flag football. I'm sorry. I'm not bold.
All right, we're going to win like 12 gold medals before somebody catches up. All right, last one here. Bad news for the UFL. Ratings to start the season have fallen off a cliff compared to last year's opening week. The Battlehawks and Roughnecks game was the one on Friday, and it was down 42%. In fact, Bart, not a single broadcast matched last year's average. Ugh. The UFL is essentially the third biggest spring league attempted since I've been alive, with the XFL, the AAFL, I think what was the
American... Oh, yeah, that one was brutal.
The American Alliance, I think was what it was called. And, of course, the USFL, which an unknown, now known president destroyed. Call or fold... This will be the last attempt at spring football.
I am hoping people do not fold on the show because I would like to carry this over to the next segment, if I may. May I do that? I've got more than just like 35 seconds worth of thoughts on spring football. So... we're going to end the show with my spring football thoughts. But for the question, I will call it.
Cole.
I think this is the last attempt. Now, will we see it thrive? Or is it going to be gone and then flag football is the spring thing in future years? We'll talk about that coming up momentarily. Again, 888, don't fold on the show. 888-710-4ISN. Let's get an update. Once again, Jennifer Williams. I love spring football, and it's a sad tale. I was not around when the USFL first tried in the 80s, but I was eager to see the XFL product in 2001, which I wasn't even a big WrestleMania guy or a wrestling guy, WWE guy, I should say. I am now. This was Vince McMahon's league, but I was into it. I liked the concept of more football, and I didn't really throw any parties when I was in high school. But there was a Saturday night in 2001 where the XFL was starting, and I was very excited for it. And I told my parents, I want to have people over to watch the game. And they said, okay, you can have some people over. I think you know where the story is going. We had some soda and some chips, a pizza or two. The person that came was my brother. My brother came, who was a few grades younger than me, and so nobody came. Nobody came to my party. Now, nobody, it wasn't like people said they were going to come, and then they didn't come. It was just, nobody came. But I loved the XFL back then, and then it went away. And then there's been different versions of spring football. Even in the 20-year gap between. And I've always liked that there's been football in the spring. So when Carlos asked me in Call or Fold, is this the last chance? I kind of feel like it is. And I think it doesn't have to do a lot to be successful. But the opening game this season between St. Louis and Houston, as he was telling you, 690,000 viewers on a Friday night in prime time on broadcast television, which was down about 42% from last year's opener. Now, I did point this out that they're going against March Madness, and they won't be this Friday. This week, there's games every Friday. So this year, it's new. There's a game every Friday on Fox, and then either one on Saturday and two on Sunday, or two on Saturday and one on Sunday. And Fox is airing them, ESPN's airing them, ABC's airing them. So they're going to put themselves out to an audience. And I'm watching these games a little bit last week. And the games on Sunday were pretty good. The Defender Stallions game was pretty good on Sunday, 18-11. The coaches kind of jawing it out afterwards. Friday night game was a blowout. Saturday was a blowout. And I thought to myself as I'm watching this, like, why don't more people like this? Why don't more people get into this? And I'm not talking about like get into it like you need a favorite team or whatever. But it's football in the spring. I thought we were a football crazed nation. We'll watch NFL, you know, at 2 a.m. if we have to. And it doesn't even have to be our team. It can be, with all due, Jacksonville and Tennessee. Slap them on at 5 a.m. on a Saturday. That'll get 6-7 million views. College football. We like college football. Even teams we're not super in with, like, Maction's a big deal. We watch games. But spring football never seems to resonate. So do we like football, or do we just like the NFL and college? Because I feel like it should be a little bit bigger than it is. And maybe you need that. Maybe you need that connection. Maybe you need that. What was it? Sunday. My son had a friend over. So his dad came over and like we watched TV. And the Final Four was on and baseball was on. And I turned on the spring football. I turned on the UFL. And I could just like feel the detachment. I could feel like this is not something that I want to watch. And he loves sports. And we've watched NFL together. But it doesn't stick for whatever reason. they've been instrumental in making some different changes in terms of replay assist and different camera angles. That Skycam came all the way back from XFL 2001. The kickoff rule, of course. I don't know. There's a game on every Friday. So this weekend, there's a game on Friday. There's a game on Saturday night. Fox on Friday, ABC on Saturday. Saturday's the Final Four, so I get it. Sunday, though, there's a game at noon Eastern, and then there's a game, like, in the evening. Can you just, like, watch a game and see if you like it? Just if you don't like it, if the play's too bad, that's fine. But can you at least just watch a game? If you watch a game and don't like it, fine. I'm not, like, saying you have to watch Severance, it's the greatest show of all time, which you should, and it is. But can you just watch a game? It's so great because if you start watching a game and then you have something else to do, you forget that the game's even on. You don't even think about it because you don't even care. And that's a pro, I'm arguing. Thanks to Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti, Jennifer Williams. We'll be back tomorrow night. Carlos, I'll see you Friday. This is The Bart Winkler Show. Linnell Willingham up next.